Thank you for listening to the sermon podcast of the Potter's House in Virginia Beach. Singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. Worthy, all the earth is filled with your glory, glory. We give you glory, glory. We are a local church with a worldwide vision for winning souls, making disciples, and planting churches. We're a Pentecostal church affiliated with the Christian Fellowship Ministries. We hope you enjoy today's sermon.
As he comes.
Test. Test, test. I hope I can bless you tonight. Definitely a privilege to be here preaching. Thank you for everyone who came out. I have been talking to Pastor, and I asked him any words, you know, just so I could get a kind of a insight of what's on his mind. I mean, he's at the Bible conference in Prescott right now, and there's no doubt a lot of men of God and decisions being made. And the first word he gave me was this word, passion. And I can just see him charged up, full of passion. There's a lot of people that go to conferences and they've set their lives towards a certain path, and that's Christ and serving Christ. And you go and you get stirred in a place like that, and your passion gets even stronger. And that's a passion to see the lost saved, and that's, of course, what Jesus came for saving the lost. And that's our passion. And he gave me another word, vision, and they almost rhyme, so I was going to try to do something with that. But the word vision, we got to be able to look out, and we got to be able to see clearly. And even in the midst of a snowstorm, and what, it wasn't long ago we had a hurricane, so we've been getting some interesting weather here. Though storms come, we have to have a vision to be able to see through those storms and to the other side and to even further on to what God has for us. And I trust that God has given each of us in here something in our hearts. He spoke to us a plan for our lives, all of our lives. God has a plan and a purpose, and we should be able to generate a vision from that of where he wants us to go and not let go of it. Amen? Tonight, I have a sermon, and it's really just a basic message. Nothing extremely revelational, because I would not dare go there. But on a Wednesday night, I do want to preach this message that I just wrote, fresh off the press, called "The Bear Eventually Eats You." Okay, and so the bear doesn't have to eat anybody, but that's the name of this sermon. It's called "The Bear Eats You." If you want to turn in your Bible to Psalms chapter 1. Verses, we're going to go verses 1 through 6, Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. And a bear is not a friendly animal. You know, there's all kinds of different ones. Some of them are meaner than others. You know, the grizzly bear is supposed to be a pretty mean bear. I remember I had a dog growing up that's name was Bear. It was a friendly pet dog named Bear. It wasn't a bear, ferocious bear, like a grizzly or a black bear, or some type of bear that has been known as a carnivore. So I'm going to start off with this news article from October 2009. It was Fox News, October 5th. It says, Michael Waltz, who has been licensed since 1994, reported to authorities in 2007 that he kept a lion, cougar, jaguar, tiger, black bear, leopard, and two servals on the property in Ross Township, a rural area in the Pocono Mountains about 20 miles northeast of Allentown. And so that's Pennsylvania. That's the state that I'm from, interestingly enough. So this guy, you can see him, he's got all his pet, dangerous pets. So let's go right to the Bible. Let's go right to the book of Psalms, chapter 1, verse 1 through 6. And it goes like this. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Let's pray tonight. Heavenly Father, we do so thank you for your word. We so thank you for the blood of Jesus that sets us free. We pray this night that the Holy Spirit would have right of way. We pray right now that our hearts would be open to receive your message, God. Give us guidance and direction, each, God, as you have chosen and as you have fit for our lives, God, that we would gain revelation from this tonight, this message, God. Set us free from any strongholds. We pray against any thing that would try to come against your word this night. In Jesus' name, amen. So the bear eventually eats you. The first thing I want to look at is being unevenly yoked. So being unevenly yoked, it's one of these Bible terms that a lot of people have heard of, the yoke, because it's an old agricultural tool that you would put on some animals, and you would pair up some animals, you know, say a pair of two animals, and you would put them in this yoke, and you would send them on down the down plowing the field or whatever, gathering a harvest, whatever they might be doing with this yoke upon them. And the Bible is very specific about not being unevenly yoked. And so that will be like, you know, if you put a very strong ox, for instance, with a weak ox in the yoke, what would end up happening is the strong ox would be pulling all the weight and eventually die or become very weakened to the point where he starts to fall. And the weaker one obviously can't pull him ahead. And so it's talking, when you talk about uneven yoke, you're talking about two different strengths in the process. And, you know, obvious statement, a bear is no pet. You know, a wild bear is no pet. But I also want to say, listening to, walking with, acting like sinners is detrimental. And we have, you know, there's a lot of sinful people out there, and they're more blatant than ever. The morals are way down in our country, and so people are very blatant and belligerent. And so, in a sense, we find a lot of Christians or so-called Christians who are kind of looking like sinners, walking like sinners, doing the things that sinners do, and it's not right. And so, if you're with the sinners, there's always an influence that takes place. And this word influence that I want to talk about for a second is out of Merriam-Webster. It says, the power to change or affect someone or something, the power to cause changes without directly forcing them to happen, a person or thing that affects someone or something in an important way. So influence can happen very subtly. It can happen words, mannerisms, it can happen through actions, and so you have to be very careful about what us as God's children are allowing to influence us. And there's a lot of forces at work out there that want to influence God's people. Obviously, the devil, his whole entire sole purpose is to bring us down and take us away from God's hand. And he can't necessarily reach up and take us himself, but if people get influenced the wrong way, they end up going down that wrong path. In 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14 and 15, it says, do not be unevenly yoked together with unbelievers. That's where I got that portion right there. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness, and what accord has Christ with Belial, or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? So it's always talking about a direct contrast. It's talking about righteousness on one hand, and lawlessness on the other hand. It's talking about light on one hand, and it's talking about darkness on the other hand. And it's very specific in saying believer on one hand and unbeliever on the other hand. It says they don't go together. They can't go together. You can't have them at the same time. You're not going to have your light and your dark at the same time. You're not going to have your righteousness and your lawlessness at the same time. Pastor Campbell, as many of you know, has a saying that that basically forms the message that those who you spend your time with, you will become like. So do not neglect the assembly or fellowship with the saints. It's unwise for a Christian to befriend, say, a drug dealer, or go to the bar every Friday, or hang out with fornicators. It's not healthy. It's not good. There's an influence. There's something there. These are extreme, but what about the unsaved coworker giving you relationship advice? Or the person on the YouTube video who you do not really know who that person is, but they're talking and you know, you're listening. We're listening. There's a time and period where you may be trying to lead these people to Christ. That's good. But at some point, they got to go. So you got to know when and how long you're trying to win someone to Christ. They're a sinner. They might be a drug dealer. They might be a fornicator. Who knows? But, you know, you give them a couple months to repent, and if they don't, then you don't want to be unevenly yoked with these individuals. A disclaimer, though. I'm not referring to marriages. That's totally different. Never give up on marriages. And so I'm talking about simply friendship relationships is what I'm talking about. And see, we got to realize unrepented people, they have spirits. If you look at Luke 11, 24 to 26, if anybody wants to flip there, Luke 11, 24, 26, people who don't repent, not everyone, I'm not saying 100%, but they have spirits. And in this Luke 11, 24 starts, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man. So first of all, we know there was an unclean spirit in the man. So yes, there is a spirit there. It goes through dry places seeking rest and finding none. He says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of the man is worse than the first. Now, in the context of this particular scripture, we understand that when that unclean spirit is driven out, what needs to happen is we need to get filled with the things of God. We need to get filled with things like prayer. We need to get filled with things like reading the Bible, coming to church, listen to preaching, get that timely word in due season. That's what we need to fill ourselves with. But the point I wanted to look at was there was an unclean spirit that goes out of the man. Spirit is real. This is talking about a demon spirit that controls a person. And I'm not trying to scare anybody in here, but the Strong's definition that breaks down this word spirit, it's used of demons or evil spirits who were conceived as inhabiting the bodies of men. And so it's a very real thing, and we have to understand that. Ephesians 6:12 is a very familiar scripture that we know that says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And so while we're following up on, you know, our neighborhood drug dealer, or we're inviting, you know, going out to dinner, taking the fornicating couple out to dinner, whatever the case may be, there's spirits there. And these spirits, you know, like I said, not 100% of the time, but they have a purpose. There's principalities and powers of darkness that are trying to work and infiltrate and influence God's people. Amen? And it's very real. And so the second thing I want to look at is don't be naive. We cannot be naive. The bear only wants to kill and eat you. All right? I'm going to finish the rest of that article. So Kellyanne Waltz went into the bear's 15 by 15 foot steel and concrete cage. We're like, no, don't go in there. About 5 p.m. Sunday, throwing a shovel full of dog food to one side to distract the bear while she cleaned the other side, Conway said. At some point, the bear turned on her and attacked her. Her children and the neighbor's children saw the attack. That is horrifying. And summoned help. And the neighbor shot and killed the bear while it was atop Waltz, Conway said. Why this woman chose to go in the same area that the bear was in is beyond me. It's a fatal mistake, he said. These things are not tame animals. They're wild animals. Scott Castone, her friend and neighbor, told the Associated Press, she loved the animals and took care of them. She's done it 1,000 times, said Castone, and on 1,001, something happened. And that's what I'm talking about, because a lot of us, when I first started mentioning this about, you know, what you're hanging out with, we're like, yeah, I got this. You know, I've done this. It happened so many times, but on that final time was the fatal one, because you have to be careful. You can't be naive. That family, they had a pet bear. They got children. I don't know what they're thinking. They got all kinds of exotic pets, obviously, but, you know, she goes into the cage with this bear. And you can actually go on YouTube and look at some of the big cats. People, the idea originated, I saw there was someone in Mexico, I believe, that was had a bunch of big cats. So I was like, boy, that's risky. And so the bear, the same thing, very, very risky. It's good to walk with a little caution of your surroundings. 1 John 4, verse 1 says, Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And I didn't add it, but, you know, even in the book of John, it talks about people who are godly on the outside, but inside full of dead man's bones, right? And so what you're looking at is you have to be careful of who you're yoked with. You know, the subtle thought, oh, that couldn't happen to me, comes to mind, right? We have the invincibility complex. The youth usually feel pretty invincible because life hasn't happened to them yet. Amen. How many remember when you were like a teenager, you're like, I can do anything. And you really thought it was true. And then, you know, you get a little older, you start to twist a couple ankles and some things happen, and you start to become a little more cautious. another thing to look at is with the seven sons of Sceva in the book of Acts, they were the sons of a Jewish priest, and they were working, there were some exorcisms going on over there in Israel back in the book of Acts, right? And so they had saw Paul praying in the name of Jesus and casting demons out and different things like that. And so they came up to one, and they said, you know, and even the priest that would preach in the name of Jesus, they said to this particular demon, hey, in the Jesus who Paul preaches, we cast you out. And the particular demon, it says it leapt on them, and it overtook them. And it said, you know, Paul and Jesus, we don't know you. And and they didn't have the power to get that spirit out of there. Time is one way to test the spirits. If they are of God, they will bear good fruit. Amen? Because the things of God will always bear good fruit. You'll be able to tell it over time, because fruit grows over time. Jesus said a good tree bears good fruit. An apple tree should bear apples. If not, then it's a different type of tree. Matthew 10:16 says, Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and gentle as doves. And so these wolves, or we could say spirits, because I'm talking about these evil spirits that are out there. A serpent knows how to slip away from a dangerous situation. This is a time when the word serpent isn't used for the devil in the Bible. It says, we're to be, therefore be wise as serpents and gentle as doves. And that's what Jesus was telling the disciples. And it's talking about avoiding a problem by being wise. It's talking about getting out of a bad situation. And that's what that's referring to right there. And so we have to have that mentality. We have to know that the enemy's for us, and he'll send people to us, and they'll have spirits. And we have to be wise as serpents and gentle as doves when that happens. And we also have to be very careful to not deem any individuals as evil, because people in themselves are not evil, but the evil spirits that they have within them are evil. Amen? Have you ever been tricked? I had a sailor that worked for me at the Navy Ceremonial Guard. And I was stationed there from 2011 to 2013. And as I was working there, this female had come to the ceremonial guard, and I had known her and of her and observed her. I was the training platoon chief, and so I had actually brought her from recruitment from basic training to the ceremonial guard, trained her up, and got her into the guard on the drill team. And she had kind of a quasi-religious side to her. I remember her telling me about church back home where she was from in Texas. But it came to a point where you find things out about people, like what people are doing, how their lives are, and different things like that. So she's a lesbian. Well, this is shortly after the Navy, or the military, I should say, repealed the Don't Ask, Don't Tell. So she's allowed to be a lesbian in the military. Okay. Who am I to say any different? I don't run the military. I'm a chief in there. But she comes into my office one morning. It was right after she had gotten a little bit of trouble, and she was going to be going through a process of discipline. And she comes into my office, and she's crying. And Chief, you're a man of God. I should have saw it coming. I should have saw it coming. So watch when someone strokes your ego, right? So, oh, Chief, you're a man of God. I'm just really hurting right now, and I'm and she's crying. Like, so I'm believing this, and I'm like, okay, I need some scriptures. I need, I got to pray. She sits down, and I have the Ten Commandments sitting on my coffee table right there. And I'm like, just talking to her, what's going on, and this and that. And I never even said, what the Bible says about being a homosexual, you're going to go to hell. I didn't go there, right? So what I did say was, maybe there's something in your lifestyle that God's not happy with. That's why it feels like your prayers are bouncing off the wall. That's why it feels like your prayers aren't being opened. So that word lifestyle, it's become like a little key phrase, right? And so so what happened was she immediately went and reported me to the Equal Opportunity and said I was discriminating against her. And so I would have my day in which I got to do the whole full investigation. But they sent me out of the ceremonial guard like 2 days later. They called me in early in the morning and said, pack your stuff up, and you can't come back here until further notice, and we're doing an investigation. And I'm like, on what? So what I'm saying is there was so many people getting saved at the ceremonial guard. I was leading a Bible study. People were coming in. They were getting saved. Things were going great there. And all of a sudden, I feel like I kind of got tricked, right? I feel like I kind of got tricked up a little bit. I didn't see it coming. I did not see it coming. And the powers and principalities of darkness, what they may be, was able to get me out of there. So this type of thing happens. The enemy plays on our sympathy at times, perhaps, right? I got another one. There was a man who called me one night kind of late. I was fellowshipping with another brother at the church, and he's like, I got the noose around my neck right now. He's like, I'm going off the balcony. He's like, it's over. I'm like, hold on, don't do that, And so Me and another brother, we go over and pick him up, take him back, and we're fellowshipping all night. And I'm staying up late even though I got things going on. And I'm fellowshipping with the brother, and we're having coffee and some snacks, and we're trying to keep, hey, we can't let this guy kill himself. You know, and it's like this effort to save from death, you know. 2 days later, it says, yeah, I wasn't going to do that. I made that all up. I just wanted to hang out with you guys. Really? Okay. Got a little saying in the Navy. Roger that. But, you know, and hey, the guy obviously had some issues. But that was kind of a low shot right there. If we look at Deuteronomy 32:35, we got to realize the response, our response. It says, vengeance is mine and recompense. That's from God. Their foot shall slip in due time, for the day their calamity is at hand, and the things to come hasten upon them. And so we have to realize that we're not the ones responding to that kind of stuff. We let God handle that kind of stuff. He's got it under control. He knows. It says their foot shall slip in their due time. In other words, they're gonna get theirs. Just know that the enemy of our soul is on the prowl, looking for naive saints to influence. He walks around like a roaring lion to devour. And so we have to make sure we're paying attention, we're staying evenly yoked. Last point I want to look at, because I'm not going long tonight, is brotherly love, not bearly love. So, brotherly love, not bearly love. The bear eats the lady, right? It's a horrible situation. Instead, leave the bear in its cage and find some wholesome Christian friends. Amen. People that you see around the church with a good spirit, a good testimony, and a good reputation. That's the fruit that's going to come out, and it's going to be noticeable. It's not hard to spot. Just hang around and see who loves you. John 13:35 says, by this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another, says Jesus. There are a lot of things that love does not look like. Now, I'm not going to go there, okay? There's a lot of things that love does not look like. So what does love look like, you ask? Well, I've got some examples here. If someone tells us the truth, that's love. If someone corrects us, that's love. If someone has us over the house, that's love. If someone gives us food, that's love. If someone helps us, that's love. If someone gives us that tough love that forces us to help ourselves, that's love. If someone prays for us, that's love. If someone listens to us, that's love. If someone waits for us, that's love. If someone dies for us, that's love. And there's many, many, many more examples out there, but some of these things are just so simple that it's profound. So praise for us. Are we praying for Pastor? Are we showing him the love by praying for him? His family? Are we helping others? Are we allowing ourselves to be helped? Are we listening to other people? Tell you, a lot of people that are coming in and visiting and getting saved, they're not accidentally showing up here. There's something there. And if we will listen and open our ears to why they came through the door or what they have going on in their lives, that'll be enough for them to say, I know that this person must love me. I mean, who would listen to my problems? Amen? Maybe I'm the only one that has problems, but that's what it's all about, listening to each other, waiting for somebody. And I can be about as impatient as it comes, but will we wait for somebody? You know, my wife had an appointment the other day, very important. The weather wasn't great. I left work, took her to the appointment, sat there in the car and waited until she came back out. And she appreciated that, waiting for her. There's two special nights for me a week outside of church. So I'm gonna let you in a little bit on my inner circle of my activities. Date night with my wife is so special for me. I so look forward to it. We don't even have to spend any money. Matter of fact, it's better when we don't spend money. Amen. Mr. Budget's very happy when that happens. But we could walk at the park, or we could go here, you know, we could go see something, or we could spend money. We could go to a restaurant, or we could go to the mall. Maybe they got a dress on clearance or something. Who knows? But, like, I make that, like, that's a priority. Like, I got to have my date night with my wife. And, yeah, we have things come up, and sometimes we may miss a week, and we'll make up for it. That's very important. And the other one is fellowship night with whoever is available or willing to hang out. That's very important to me. Nothing better than get together. We could do something or not do anything. We could talk and listen or play a game and do the coffee thing. But these things, like as far as my life and the strength that I get from fellowship with others, very, very, very important to me. The Bible says iron sharpens iron, and we strengthen each other. Amen? Luke 22:32, Jesus says to Peter, "But I prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you return to me, strengthen your brethren." Isaiah 35:3 says, "Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees." God will surround us with people who love and care for us in the church. And that's his plan. And we could be like an army that has, someone's got his back covered, and someone's got her back covered, and someone's got my back covered, and I got your back covered. And we could be this army that's not going to be surprised on any of the flanks. It's not going to be surprised from any attacks that come. But when we get together, it's going to be a good time of just strengthening one another. I tell you, during the snowstorm on Saturday, ended up over at Miss Joni's house, and there was food on the table, and it was just a great time. It was cold outside, and there was snow shoveling that needed done and everything else. But we were actually able to sit in there when it was bitter cold out and dangerous outside, quite frankly, and have a nice time of fellowship. And it was such a blessing. Was that a blessing? The ecclesia is the called out assembly. And so the church is not the building with a steeple. Church is not the stained glass. Church is not the pews. But the people who live for God and give their lives to serve him and others. That's the church. What we have to think. We have to think. There's traps. The devil sets traps out there. Being unevenly yoked. You're good for the thousandth time, but the thousand and one time it takes you out. Don't be naive. Some people do have spirits. Not everybody does. So don't be looking at people that are coming in here like, hey, what spirit do they have? You know, trying to figure it out. But only God knows some of these things. You know, I don't. And quite frankly, it's kind of, you know, I don't know if I want those things to be revealed to me. So I don't pray for God to reveal them for me. But there are people that do have spirits. So we can't be naive to this. But we have to be about God's business with God's people. And that's why our fellowship is exceptional in all the earth. And I say exceptional in all the earth, and I talk about the fellowship, talking about all the people that are in Prescott right now, that are in Chandler right now, that are in all over Hampton Roads in our churches, is the fruit is the evidence. You see so many changed lives. If you take just a minute before or after service and pick up a Trumpet magazine, it will blow your mind. It will absolutely blow your mind. If you don't know anything about a miracle or about our fellowship or any of that stuff, pick up that Trumpet magazine, open it up. You will read people who were powerfully converted, drug dealers and fornicators, like I was talking at the beginning, saved, set free, living for God, good testimonies, in the kingdom, heaven bound. You'll read about people who, the fellowship's what, a little bit older now, some 40 years, people who are now even passing away in the fellowship, but they're having a going to heaven, passing away. You know what I mean? It's not a downer, believe it or not. Can you imagine? I can't wait to get there one day. I don't have a death wish, but we all know that death is not prejudice. We're all going to die one for one. But the fruit of the evidence, look at the worldwide impact of our church. It's a miracle. It's a miracle from God. And the preaching, the hard preaching that's taken place shows you what a miracle it is. Because most of Christianity is the feeler group that's just looking for the prosperity message. They're looking for the, how they can become great. And how they can become extremely wealthy. Our fellowship is saying, this is how you can give it all, and this is how you can go to heaven one day. And that's where I want to be, amen? All right, if I could have every head bowed and every eye closed in here tonight. God is so good. His simple message. We do not want to be unevenly yoked. You have to be careful. You got cousins. You got people that are somewhat close to you from the time you've grown up. And what kind of...
We thank you again for listening. Do you want to receive updates from our church in your inbox? Make sure to sign up at our website, vbph.org. If this message has been a blessing to you, would you consider supporting our ministry with a generous donation? Please visit our website at vbph.org and scroll down to find the Give button at the bottom of the page. We would be so grateful for your support. Until next time, love God and love people.